2023. Welcome to the Sportscast. September 28th, 2018. Oregon Ducks leading in the third quarter, loses the game in overtime. Ty Turner, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, I like that lead in. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I have to, man. I gotta talk about this game. What happened?
Some bad luck happened. I also would say it's a young, I'm gonna give a pragmatic perspective, then I'm going to give an Oregon perspective, and then I'm going to give a Stanford perspective.
Perfect.
Pragmatic perspective, they were going up 31-7. The guy ran in for a touchdown. It turned out that his foot hit the pylon, and if that does, then you're out of bounds. The ball was at the one-yard line. Then they fumble, recovered, handed off, got the three-yard line. Then he threw the ball over Justin Herbert's head. I don't know how it's possible. He's 6'7". But anyways, he threw it over 6'7" quarterback's head. Joey Alfieri of Stanford picks it up, runs it back for a touchdown. The bad luck was all Jalen Redd had to do was reach the ball over, and it was a touchdown. And if it was 31-7 at the end of the third quarter, Stanford's not coming back. They just don't have that kind of team offense. But then you turn it to 24-14, the momentum totally changes, and then all of a sudden, here comes Stanford, 24-21. But the crazy thing is Oregon withstood the momentum change, the bad luck, and then basically got ahead 31-21, stopped them on fourth down 31-28, then had the ball to run it out, and they fumble.
I saw that play.
I wouldn't say that as much as bad luck as you could say it was Oregon shouldn't have run, but also I'm going to give credit to where credit is due. And the mantra of David Shaw is he's just very consistent. He doesn't beat himself. You have to beat them. And if you leave his teams around since he's been a coach, there's a chance that they could steal one. And where I'm going to David Shaw is a very good coach, is very disciplined, very consistent, and that is ultimately what won. And Oregon was young. They showed they're young. They really have not learned to win yet. And a game that they just dominate for three quarters, where they dominate statistically. I think it was over 500 yards of total offense. Stanford was in the 300s. And a game that for three quarters looked like basically Oregon was blowing them off the field. They somehow win. So it's a terrible, terrible loss by Oregon. But Oregon still has their season ahead of them. They could still win the Pac-12 North. They could go 11-1, definitely make a New Year's Bowl six. Who knows? Some chips fall where they may. Some teams lose. They all of a sudden find themselves as a one-loss team going against, like, other two-loss teams. Maybe Georgia loses a couple games. Maybe Ohio State loses a couple games because they both have pretty tough schedules. All of a sudden, they might, you know, and they still could make the playoffs. Because, if you think about it, Oregon's one loss was a game that they dominated the whole time, and they basically lost on a stupid fumble at the end of regulation and then lose in overtime. If that's their only loss and they go 11-1, they would have a pretty strong case, even if they didn't win the Pac-12, of possibly a playoff berth. But if they win the Pac-12, then they can go 12-1, and it'd be almost impossible to leave them out when their only loss was that loss. It was a very good loss, but still is a loss nonetheless. But at the same time, I'm a little worried because that was a bad loss. And honestly, one of the games I was most worried about was this weekend because it's right in the middle of Stanford and Washington. And I think almost this loss, it could possibly make it where their comeback focused and really getting after it. I think if they would have beaten Stanford, I for some reason think they might have overlooked. Because clearly they're the young team because they coughed up a game that they should have had. I could totally see them overlooking Cal. But maybe because they lost, now they'll be more focused because, man, we lost the game. We got to come back and prove that we were that team for three quarters. So it could be a blessing in disguise. guys, because honestly, they won. I could see them totally looking ahead to Washington and end up losing this game to Cal. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think they have a pretty good test this week.
Who
is Cal's top 25? So
who had better performance, KJ Costello or Justin Herbert?
Did you watch the game?
I watched the highlights. KJ, I mean, Costello came as a hero. You know, Herbert had one interception.
No. Have you read what all the experts and what all the scouts are saying about the game?
No.
Okay. Well, basically, Justin Herbert has blown, like, they lost, but Justin Herbert has blown up since then. I think he's been on the top of, like, three different, very top, like, he's projected to be the first pick in the 2019 draft. I mean, in regulation, he was 25 for 27 for 331 yards. That means he had 94% completion percentage against the number seven scoring defense in the nation. So, it's not a question. I appreciate Costello's a steady guy. He hung in there, but he's not even close to the talent that Herbert is. I still will remain, and if you watch that first half performance, there is not a more talented quarterback in college football.
Oh yeah, by far he is definitely. I mean, who are your top three college quarterbacks right now?
Well, again, it's like I said. If you're going, who's the most talented quarterback in college football? It's really not even close. The reason why he is flying ahead to mocks, the reason why people are saying Colin Cowherd on FS1 said he NFL scouts. He's talked to several NFL scouts. And they say Justin Herbert is the most talented quarterback prospect over the past 3 years. So, yes, that's saying Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. They say that Justin Herbert is the most talented. I mean, so there is a lot of people. I mean, when I talk about talent, I'm talking about 6'6", 240, a guy that can make every throw in across the field, over the top. I mean, make crazy NFL throws on the run. He's incredible on the run. It can be accurate. People talked about his accuracy because of all the drop balls. It made him, well, this week, they didn't drop balls. He was 93% in regulation. He did not have great overtime, but honestly, his receivers weren't getting open, and I could tell that they had just lost focus. But when you talk about arm strength, and then the speed, he took, like, there were several carries where he just went around the end for 25 yards and just went right by the linebacker. So he's pretty much faster than almost any team's front seven. He's probably a 4-5. And I didn't even think, okay, so remember we were talking about comparison. And I was like, Ryan Tannehill. And I was talking about Ryan Tannehill, and we said Mitch Trubisky, but someone else brought up a comparison. And I'm like, that is more who he's like.
Who is
it? But the reason why I didn't think of it, okay, I'm going to see you again. The reason why I didn't think of it is because you somehow always want to compare people to the same color skin.
Ooh.
But the guy he actually most resembles is not a white guy. He's a black guy. And he won a national title 2 years ago.
The guy from Houston, right?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And he is. He likes to pass, but if you give him a running lane, he can get it, and none of the guys in the front seven can get him. He has the athletic ability of 4-5, 4-6 kind of range to, he's pretty much faster than most teams' front seven. So and you saw it on display against Stanford where he took three or four carries, like 25-yard game, 15-yard game, 10-yard game, because he just carried it, and there was a guy at the end there, and he just outran the end and got around the corner, and then he would slide before he got hit by a D-back. But he's just a remarkable athlete. The talent-wise, whether he leaves in 19, some people say 20, he's going to be the first quarterback taken. But actual quarterback, I mean, you do have to put some credence to what Will Grier does at West Virginia. Tua Talladega is doing an amazing job with Alabama. He has the most talent around him in college football. But still, he's great. Trevor Lawrence, who's now the starting quarterback, Clemson's a terrific talent, and he's a terrific quarterback.
Told you.
I wasn't impressed with Drew Locke's performance against Georgia, but it is against Georgia. So, I mean, it's tough to look impressive. Another quarterback's Kyler Murray for Oklahoma. He's really carrying that offense. He's a good college quarterback. He would never play it down as an NFL quarterback. McKenzie Milton's a great quarterback for UCF. I mean, the guy's, what, like 17-0 over the last 2 years? So when you ask that question, top three college quarterbacks, I initially was like Herbert, but I'm like, you know, there's some other really good college quarterbacks that can really get it done, that can really work the system. I would say Will Greer, I would say Tua Talavega, and I'd probably go Herbert, but you could have an argument for McKenzie Milton, Kyler Murray. But if you're going to go NFL prospect, Justin Herbert.
By far.
Just too much talent.
One of the common people asks, who is your favorite group of five team? I'm not sure what he means. Oh, non-power five team.
I'm going to have to stay with UCF. They've won 17 games in a row.
Wow.
And McKenzie Milton runs that show. And I mean, until someone beats them. So I'm going to say UCF right now. I mean, Houston, he has that Oliver, and they've done some good things. Boise State was looking good, but they got blown out by Oklahoma State. So I'm going to say UCF.
There you go. Looking forward to Oregon, California. How do you see this game? Do you think it's a winnable game, or do you think it would be a tough battle?
Oh, it's definitely winnable. Oregon's definitely the more talented team. I wouldn't say that California is really that talented, but they are well coached. Justin Wilcox is a great coach. He was a great defensive coordinator. He will get his team as ready as they possibly can. I've watched them play some of the BYU game and some of the North Carolina game, and offensively, they just don't have a ton of talent. Like, they don't have a real breaker at the running back position. They don't have any really breakers at the wide receiver position. They play like 2-3 quarterbacks. The one guy's pretty athletic. The other guy's a little better passer. But they're not like the super studs. You know what I'm saying? So offensively, they just are not super talented. Defensively, they're a little better. They got some good defensive backs that can definitely take the ball away. I think they're top 15 in total defense. They're top 25 in pass defense. And I think they're top 10 in turnover ratio. So they can take the ball away. It's at home. They're coming off of a bye. They will come out to play. If Oregon is flat, they could lose this game. They could lose this game. But if Oregon comes out and plays their game and play, like if Oregon plays as good as Stanford, they'll beat California 45-7.
And Oregon could be without running back Tony Brook James.
Yeah, but you know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, Tony Brook James is the starter because he's a senior, but he's actually the third best running back on the team. CJ Verdell, who fumbled the ball, unfortunately, is the leading rusher on the team. And the second leading rusher is freshman Travis Dye, who's the younger brother of preseason All-American middle linebacker Troy Dye. So actually, their two best running backs are CJ Verdell and Travis Dye. So even though Brooks James is the starter, he's actually probably the third best running back. Now, I would rather him still be playing, but you're actually not missing your best running back. And they also have a guy called Darian Felix, who's a pretty good running back.
And
Baltimore.
Also,
so I think they're fine.
And also defensive end Austin Filio will also be missing out.
Oh, he's for sure missing?
Well, he's 50-50. They're both 50-50, but most likely not.
That's a little bigger loss. They have some depth, but Austin Filio, however you say his name, he is very good. He's a sophomore. He started as a true freshman. He's a guy that can really make plays from the defensive end position. Actually, after he went out, there was a noticeable lack of pass rush by Oregon. So, that's not – if they miss him, bigger loss than Tony Brooks James.
Moving on. The Ryder Cup, will the Americans win this year?
let me look at the roster right now. Ryder Cup. Well, I guess it says Europe is roaring back. Okay. So far,
well, you had in it, that's
you have
for
Johnson
sure.
and Fowler versus Rose and Stenson. You have Watson versus and Simpson versus Poulter and McIlroy. Mickelson and DeChambeau versus Garcia and Norén. You have Thomas and Spieth. What's that? Thomas is Australian. Okay, never mind. versus Molinari and Fleetwood. And where's Tiger at?
Ooh.
Am I missing something? Where's he at?
I don't know. Let me check it out.
Teed off yet? It's close, man. I don't know. I mean, this is a. Justin Rose is on Team World. Stenson, you have McIlroy, you have Molinari, who's just had a terrific year. It's pretty close. I mean, maybe favor the Americans by a little bit, but not by a whole lot. Europe has, and that's not Team World, by the way, it's Europe. It definitely has the people to beat them, for sure. And then I'm guessing is Tiger. I'm trying to find because I'm looking it up right now.
I'm on Wikipedia, and Tiger Woods is in it. According to Wikipedia, I got Brooks Koepka.
Oh, they lost. So Tiger lost.
Yeah, he had a good win last week.
Oh wow! So they already lost.
Yeah,
but him and Patrick Reed lost to Molinari and Fleetwood. Okay.
So
well, I guess he had an up and down round. Yeah, a great victory last week, huh?
Great victory. What were your thoughts about that? Were you surprised or it was coming?
No, I mean, he pretty much was ahead that whole tournament. And always, I mean, when Tiger was ahead in his prime, you could call it was like all she wrote. He's been, he's had trouble like winning tournaments because of injuries and mental, but he got it. And, he definitely was the best golfer on the course last weekend, so... You know, it's funny because it's not a major, but I think there was more major victories. It just tells you how huge Tiger Woods is. I don't know if anyone defines the sport more than Tiger Woods defines golf. Like, you take Tiger Woods out of golf, and its viewership and its interest goes way down. So
yeah,
it's pretty remarkable that one athlete. And people always say Michael Jordan. Like, whenever, he's like Michael Jordan basketball. But basketball's done pretty good without Michael Jordan.
Yeah, LeBron James,
I don't think
Kobe.
It's such a drop-off. Yeah, you got Kobe, you got LeBron, you got Shaq.
Curry.
You have Steph Curry. I mean, so I don't think there's... do I think Michael Jordan's the most famous basketball player of all time? Yeah, I do. Do I think he is the greatest basketball player of all time? Yeah, I do. Do I think he means as much to his sport as Tiger Woods? No. I would say the only athlete that was Muhammad Ali to boxing.
Yeah.
It's whoever you can just walk down the street and ask the random person that maybe never watched sport who Tiger Woods is, and they'll know that he's a golfer. And they'll know who Tiger Woods is. Whereas, you could say that for Jordan, but the same thing is everyone knows who LeBron is. So everyone knows who Kobe is.
Steph Curry.
So yeah, well, I don't know if everyone would know him. I'm talking about people that don't watch. I tried it because I asked a couple girls. I was asking a couple girls, do you know this athlete? And it's shocking. They don't – like, if a girl's not interested in sports, they literally won't know, like, any athletes.
Except – yeah, it's funny. But if you ask certain names, like Tommy Brady. Yeah. Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, the usuals.
Yeah, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
And maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Who's not? No, actually, I asked her and she didn't know him. It's pretty shocking. Or Muhammad Ali. Everyone knows Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. He's all time.
He probably, in and of himself, is the most famous athlete to ever live. And it's crazy how one person can just do that. But Muhammad Ali's probably the most famous athlete. Jordan second, Tiger third. If you were going to say who are the three most famous athletes of all time, I'd say it's Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods.
Yeah, there you have it.
No one doesn't know them.
Did you see the game yesterday?
Mike Tyson actually probably makes top five.
Between Rams and the Vikings.
I was dealing with some stuff, but I did see, yes, I saw some parts.
It was high school.
But I was yeah, it was. I'm guessing, so I didn't see all of it. The Rams won, I'm guessing.
Yeah, by a touchdown.
Okay, yeah, they were ahead most of the day.
They were ahead of the game, but the Vikings were striking back. Diggs had a lot of yardage, and it was 38-31. Goff, man, he did well in fantasy. I follow fantasy a little bit when it comes to footballs, but I saw his numbers were really high.
Okay. Jared Goff is
465 yards.
Definitely got to give some credit to Sean McVay. He's a very good offensive mind. And he's done a terrific job at the Rams. I would say right now the Rams are the best team in football.
In the NFC, who do you think is the best in the AFC?
Probably the Jaguars.
I said the same thing. It's between them and the Chiefs.
But I always value a good defense.
Me too.
I just think if they played with each other, I think they would be able to make enough. I think they have a better defense. I think Jaguars would get them. But I agree. Chiefs look really good, and Patrick Mahomes is the quote-unquote MVP. But we'll see. Yeah, they are very good, and they look very like a juggernaut offensively. But I think I would take the Jaguars, but the Rams look tremendous.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're maybe not like – I tell you what, Jaguars would be tough for anyone to beat because they are really good on defense. And they would make – and if you're going to make mistakes, they can have enough offense to take advantage of it. So it's close between Jaguars and Rams. I think most people have the Rams rated ahead. Did the Jaguars lose or something?
They lost against Tennessee. Yeah, that was an AFC South rival. So
okay.
I don't know. It was like 6-9.
I'm not as up on – oh, yeah, makes sense. I'm not quite as up – they might need a new quarterback. That is the one – if for some reason they find themselves losing in the, like, playoffs again, I think that they would be a team that would go after a quarterback in this year's draft. Now, obviously, they're going to be I think they're going to make the playoffs undoubtedly, probably have a pretty good record. So they probably would be – like pretty low in the first round, but they could trade some assets and get up there and get in the top 10, and that would be a place that you could see Herbert going. But you know, I don't know.
They gave him a big contract.
Go, but
they gave the Jaguars a good contract.
But I'm going to say something about Justin Herbert. He's projected to be the first pick, and he's first quarterback, possibly the first pick. Stone that he's going to declare for the draft. He's a biology major. He came from a very academic family. He's a 4.1 student. He's an academic All-American. Some people say that he's really dogmatic in wanting his degree. So, but I have a hard time seeing someone turn down $30 million because that's what he would be. He's probably going to be.
I mean,
I don't see anyone draft.
He could go to college and play pro at the same time.
Pro football with biology major? I don't know.
Well, I guess he can't really do that.
No, he could go back to college after he plays 10 years, but I don't know.
Well, he'll have a lot
of
money.
People also say his brother actually comes to Oregon next year, too. His brother's a 4-star tight end.
Wow.
So,
is he going to be good?
Really very athletic family. I don't know.
It's like the Gronkowskis.
They got his other brother was an FCS All-American at Montana State. Yeah, like really athletic white boys. like they're big, fast. They're big and can run super fast for. Yeah, like the Gronkowskis, like
or the
you know,
or like the Watt family.
The what?
The like the Watt, JJ Watt and his brother.
Watt, McCaffrey family.
Yeah.
You get McCaffrey, the Gronkowskis. You get, once in a while, you'll get, like, this white family, I don't know how to say it, politically correct, but it's it. And what, and they'll get like four kids. I don't know if their dad did steroids or he had them working out from the time they were two or what is going on. But they'll be a lot more athletic than the rest of the white people out there.
It works well with like football, like, but with basketball, it doesn't work out.
What'd you say?
With basketball, it doesn't work out as well as football because in basketball, Steph Curry's brother, Seth Curry, he's not as good as his brother.
But he still made the NBA.
Yeah, he did. He did, but, you know.
I mean, he made the NBA. I mean, how many people can say they made the NBA?
Yeah,
but they're not white, so what's your...
Well, I'm not going there.
I didn't say there's tons of, like, it just seems like the only white guys who are actually good athletes all tend to be...
Well, Michael Vick and his brother, if his brother didn't do the issues in college, he could have gone pro.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to clarify what I'm saying. Black people, there's families, there's individuals, there's plenty of super athletic black people out there. They're just, as a whole, it's just the way it is. African Americans are more athletic than white people. Plain and simple. I played sports. I would know. But when a white person tends to be athletic, it tends to be this family lineage thing.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Matthews. The Watt, the Gronkowskis, the Herbert, the McCaffreys. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if there is a really athletic white guy who's kind of a freaky athlete, it tends to be this huge family where their dad was an NFL player, where their uncle was an NFL player, where their mom was a do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where I'm saying black person, it could be just some kid with no relation to anything.
Yeah.
He could make that.
Well, I can think of Steph Curry and his dad. His dad was a basketball player.
No, I know that. Okay. I'm not saying there is lineage.
There are a few cases.
Within African
American. Yeah, there's a few cases.
But you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm just saying, but there's also individuals.
Yeah.
You rarely hear of this white guy who's none of his family members were anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard about some really athletic white, well, Brady, but he's not even a good athlete.
I think Brady is
he's
the only
a good
child.
Quarterback, but. Yeah, and you didn't hear anything. I don't know, did his dad playing sports? But the thing is, when you break it down, Tom Brady runs a 5'2", 40, jumps 24 inches. He's not a very good athlete.
No, he's not. He's just a good decision maker, good leader, good arm.
Yeah. He's
and
not,
has a good coach.
He's not an athlete like Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, no.
He's not an athlete like J.J. Watt. Oof. He's not an athlete like Rob Gronkowski. Those are good athletes.
Freaks of nature.
Yeah.
Ready for predictions.
Sure.
West Virginia at Texas Tech.
I think, West Virginia worries me a little bit, but at the same time, I think they win it. I go West Virginia.
Stanford at Notre Dame.
I think Will Greer's too much. I think Stanford came back last week, but I think it took a lot out of them. I think they're going to Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame wins this game.
Penn State at Ohio State.
No, it's Ohio State at Penn State.
Oh, okay. My bad. Switch it. Sorry.
Big difference.
It does.
The reason why I know that is because if it was Penn State going to Ohio State, I think Ohio State's the better team this year. I think they're more talented. I just think they're better. But I think it's because it's a home game. They're able to get them. Now, I still think Ohio State somehow comes back and wins the Big Ten and gets in the playoffs. But I think that actually this game goes to Penn State.
BYU at Washington.
BYU has been impressive. They actually lost Cal. To Oregon's playing, but they beat Wisconsin on the road, and they're just a solid team offensively. They're not very great on the offensive line. And Drake Browning is not, I don't think he's anything special at the quarterback position. So, and I've been that impressed, but I think they beat BYU.
Florida versus Mississippi State.
It's at Mississippi State, right?
It's at Mississippi State, correct.
Dan Mullen going back to his team he coached for the past decade. Mississippi State didn't look great last weekend. I'm going to take Florida.
Alabama.
Florida's looking not too bad, actually.
Okay. Going for Chris's team. Alabama at Louisiana Lafayette.
Come on. Louisiana Lafayette pulled off a shocker of the century. No, I'm just kidding. Alabama.
Oregon at California.
You know what? I'm gonna remain consistent. This game, I actually had Oregon. I always have picked Oregon to win. It does worry me. But I actually think the fact that they lost means they'll be more like. I think they'll be ready for this game, but. I'm a little worried, but I think Oregon wins. Oregon's the more talented team. There's definitely a pretty significant talent disparity. But that does not always mean you win the game because of that. And it's at Cal. It's at night. It's on the road. Cal's coming off a bye week, so they'll be amped. But if Oregon comes out and can play like they can, I like how, okay, quick. I dissed the Oregon receiving core, and then Dylan Mitchell broke the Oregon receiving record last week. I don't know if you caught that.
Did I catch that?
14 catches for 237 yards. So that was very impressive. As much as I dissed the receiving core, Dylan Mitchell, the junior wide receiver, he had an incredible game against Stanford. So, if he can play to that level, I think he can definitely make some plays and I think put Cal away early. Very impressive performance by Dylan Mitchell.
So Ty is holding on to Oregon.
Yeah. If you saw them last week, I mean, they looked very impressive. They just blew a game they had won.
The Buffalo Bills at the Green Bay Packers.
Packers, man, the Bills though beat up on the Vikings last week.
I know. Fitzmagic at the Chicago Bears.
I'm going Chicago. Chicago's a pretty good defensive team this year.
The undefeated Dolphins.
My daughters.
That's okay. The undefeated Dolphins at the Patriots.
I would. At the Patriots. Patriots.
Okay. Detroit Lions.
Even though the Patriots offensively, my goodness. Bill Belichick has done nothing but win for 15 years. He's not forgetting how to coach. But offensively, their receiving core is terrible. I hope they activate Josh Gordon because, man, their receivers can't get open for crap.
Yeah, I believe Josh Gordon is playing this weekend. Because they need him.
I have not seen a more meager-looking receiving core. Like, what happened to the receivers?
The Lions at the Cowboys.
Well, Lions looked great last weekend, but you don't go Lions. Cowboys don't look that good. I think they're going to be drafting a quarterback this year, too. I don't know. Dak Prescott had that good rookie year, but he's looked pretty average the last couple of years. So.
Yeah. The Ravens at the Steelers.
Steelers, no real reason.
And Kansas City at Denver.
Well, no one's stopped Kansas City offense yet, and Denver's has looked okay, but definitely beatable, so I'm going to go Kansas City.
Next week, Kansas plays Jacksonville. This will be a big game.
That'll be a good game. Yeah.
That's going to be a big game. Anyways.
Get your popcorn ready.
Big weekend in sports. Oregon, California. We got Buffalo, Green Bay. We have a lot of good games. This weekend, a lot of good ranked teams playing against each other. We'll see.
Yeah, I actually think, not to interrupt you, but I actually think that this week in college football has the most games between ranked teams of any game this season so far.
That is correct. My list is longer. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's five games between top 25 teams, and I think there's two games featuring two top 10 teams playing each other.
And you would think the Stanford-Notre Dame game is probably the biggest one.
Well, the game of the week and where game day is at is Penn State and Ohio State. And I know why. It's because it's the thing about Notre Dame and Stanford, it's a non-conference game. The game between Penn State and Ohio State is literally a Big Ten East showdown. So I would slightly put Penn State and Ohio State above Notre Dame. But yeah, that's a big game.
There are a couple of big games. Ty, how can people reach you?
Tyler Turner, MPLS.
And you could follow me at Sleon. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe. If you're on iTunes, please subscribe. Leave us a rating and review. If you're on Periscope, hit follow and hit the notification. You'll get more of these great podcasts with Tyler, because Tyler is quack crazy. The comments are going crazy right now. And anyways, I'll see you next week, Ty.
All right, see you, dude.